Welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business podcast. With me today, I have Mikael. I don't know how to pronounce your second name.
Sveinum.
Good job, I didn't try. Who is the CEO of Zendesk? Mikael, tell us a little bit about Zendesk and what you do.
Yeah, so Zendesk is a cloud-based customer service platform. Mm-hmm. So it means that our customers are using Zendesk to provide great customer service, great customer care to their customers.
Okay.
We have more than 15,000 businesses across the world using Zendesk for customer service, servicing more than, I think it's like 100 million end users. We have more than 100 million transactions a year, customer service transactions a year.
Okay.
We are originally a Danish company, thus my funny accent. And
Accent's great.
I've been in San Francisco for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. We are 250 people. We have a European headquarters here in London. About 25% of our business is here in Europe.
Okay.
UK is by far our largest market. And yeah, I think we are in the middle of a customer service revolution.
Fantastic. Music to my ears. How can I help? Where's the drum? So when you... So to Zendesk, where do you focus? Are you focused more larger firms or sort of smaller firms? Is it B2B, B2C? You know, what's your focus?
So I think that's one of the fantastic things about being a cloud-based company is that we are able to serve both very small organizations and very large organizations with exactly the same technology. We've in many ways kind of consumerized the experience.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to adopt the platform, to understand what the app is all about, and start using it.
Okay.
So most of our customers are small medium businesses.
Right.
And they are all capable of adapting the platform and setting up within, you know, hours, if not like maybe they use the weekend on it. But we also have very large organizations. So here in Europe, companies like Thomas Cook, for example.
Okay.
A bunch of other companies, very large organizations, are using Zendesk for their customer service.
And you mentioned this sort of customer service sort of revolution. I mean, and people talk about, you know, customer service is the new black, or customer service is the new marketing. It's like PR speak.
We love
news. So let's sound bites. And I mean, why do you think customer service is becoming so sexy? Is it because we're getting so bad at it and therefore there's such a big uproar around it? Or is it that there's the whole social technology and the social web is really pushing transparency and enabling sort of consumers and customers to voice their opinions and to reach out?
Yeah.
You know, is it a combination of...
It's in many ways a perfect storm. It's a bunch of different trends in our society right now that is being reflected in that. I think that, you know, you mentioned that yourself, all the social channels, it's much easier for consumers today, everyday consumers, to have an audience and to share their opinions.
Yeah.
So if you have a bad customer service experience, it's really, really easy to share that and influence all your friends and families.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one. I think the more kind of, the bigger trend as I see it is the fact that we are changing into a kind of a subscription economy.
Right.
Meaning, we all know that as everyday consumers, that if we go to a pub and get a good experience, we keep going to that pub.
Sure. Serve good beer, then why wouldn't you?
Exactly. And, you know, if you like the people, you like the people in the pub, you like the people working there and so on, you keep going there.
Yeah.
But I think we see that as... the economy is turning more towards a subscription economy where it's not as much as kind of the initial relationship and what I can sell you here and now that matters. It's that what I can sell to you over a period of time through the lifetime of a relationship that matters. It's like it's the many small transactions, the whole concept of getting you to subscribe to my products and so on over a period of time, over the lifetime of a relationship that matters. And if you are tuned into that mindset that it's a long lasting relationship with your customer that matters for your revenues, then suddenly it is all about your customer service, because that's the only way of getting your customers to come back to you and for you as a company to retain your companies.
Do you think it's quite then quite well, just I think there's two things there. One is that that sort of understanding or that sort of realization around, particularly at the senior levels where you've got the idea of like we have to pursue long-term value, but then there's lots of pressures around sort of short-term results, particularly if you're publicly quoted or you know you have a, you know if you've got external investors and this managing those sort of you know demands. I mean, that's I think that's a, quite a big sort of challenge. But the other thing that don't you find it's quite interesting that you have companies that when they set up these big customer service call centers sort of operations to handle a large volume of interactions and transactions that. It's quite interesting that we've, and it's going to be a, quite a big shift where you've got, traditionally it's been, it's a cost center. We've got to try and manage the cost and minimize kind of cost. But we've got these people that are our front line and therefore brand ambassadors in a way. And they are the lowest paid people in the organization with the highest turnover. It does, something's got to change,
It doesn't make any sense. It's completely like, it's just a completely wrong way of looking at it. And I think companies are realizing that. I think the whole outsourcing trend that we used to see is like, it's turning, is switching the other way around. Mm-hmm. Basically, people are insourcing it again and finding out that they can't have like the front end people being, you know, the ass of the organization. It simply doesn't work. Like you wouldn't like if in any other context where you have people meeting customers, you would always put your best face front. And companies are realizing that and I think customer service is becoming it's moving from being something that you could put into a department to into something that is a culture of the organization.
That's quite interesting because there's the, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a new piece of research. There's always new research that comes out. And it's a bit like, I remember there's a, I don't know if you know this, there's a quote that comes from quite a famous ex-British Prime Minister called Benjamin Disraeli. Mm-hmm. And his quote was, lies, damn lies, and statistics. Which pretty means you can research anything and create any numbers which says whatever you kind of want it to say, which I love. But there was a piece of research and it came from a lot of it was coming out of A.T. Kearney and other people. It was a story I saw on TechRadar, and they said that 70% of all complaints made on social media were ignored. Mm. And then if you look at the, and they say that, well, actually, and they try to quantify, if that was only like 1% or 0.5% of all the complaints that were made, then it wouldn't be a huge sort of issue. But they were saying that actually, to the total volume of complaints, they estimate it's anywhere between, depending on companies and industries, between 5 and 20% of all complaints are made on social media channels, whether that's Twitter or Facebook or forums or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And what they were saying is that that's because that you know you alluded to customer service not being a department anymore. It's more of a cross thing. But because most of the social stuff is handled within marketing, and marketing only deals with, we'll turn up the speakers, and we'll just kind of pump out some sound, and then wait for stuff to happen. Wait for the phone to ring for the call, for the salespeople. So. Silos, is it silos that keep us, that make that happen, or what's got to change?
Well, I think it's of course, like when you build a company, you have to think about department responsibilities and so on. And that's also why it's like something that you want to, as a company, when you build a company and build a, you need to think about building into the company culture, into the company DNA. Mm-hmm. And that requires figuring out a way of getting the entire company's attention to customer service issues. How do you make it transparent what's going on? How do you make everybody see that here's actually somebody having a bad customer service experience, and making the responsibility of the company to make sure that you can engage with them, and that you are kind of that it worries you as an organization. Mm. So of course, like there's a lot of building a company and how do you make it somebody's and can you set up an MBO for all of that stuff. So it's probably difficult, but I think that if you can get into a mindset of that you have to build it into the DNA of the company to make sure that that you focus on customers and you think about customers in your way of dealing with things. I think that's a way of addressing it. But again, it's one of these things that are complicated to say, like, how do you get into that kind of mindset? Mm. Because let's also be honest here, it's not like dealing with customers can also be a pain in the ass. You know,
sure. Some customers.
Yeah.
And hard to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. And if you do that day over day, you know, all day long, week after week, month after month, it's really tough on you. And that's also why you have, like, in these customer service departments, you have like
the high turnover. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think that it's one of these things where you can, if you make the responsibility of the organization rather than just the department, you kind of share the pain and you make it much more visible for the rest of the organization what's actually going on. But it's also one of these things where you need to somehow figure out a way of drinking the Kool-Aid. It's like getting your entire company to join a fitness program, for example.
Yeah.
You know, that's not fun. You know, that's a lot of hard work.
That's to telling everybody that they're fat. You're all fat.
Well, you know, it's not a question about being fat. It's just a question about, you know, if once you become more fit, you also become more energized.
Sure.
You understand things better. You get kind of, it has a lot of good kind of side effects.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of how you have to look at customer service too, or being customer centric, is that it's a tough decision. It's something you need to get into a rhythm of. But once you get into that rhythm, it has a lot of great side effects.
Do you think then that because there's a lot of I know that I've spoken to different companies around another big word that floats around is engagement. Engagement.
Yeah,
it's the
yeah.
holy grail sort of thing. And,
yeah.
and it's depending on whether if you put customer in front of it, then it belongs to marketing. And if you put employee in front of it, it belongs to HR. But if you don't actually append any of those two words, then it becomes a bit of a wrestling match.
Yeah.
So it strikes me that it might be that there's a cultural DNA thing that you need to try and address to become more customer centric. But is it the there's also an employee sort of engagement sort of piece that almost then is like a cart and a horse. It's almost like one's the cart, one's the horse, and you've got to decide what comes first. Is it that you have the customer DNA and you have the customer centric culture, or do you actually go, let's build a team and then figure out where we're going to go? Or how does it work? Is it we figure out where we want to go and then build a team, or what comes first? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big challenge for many organizations, particularly organizations that have a legacy and a history, as it were, and
yeah.
have gone from where they are, and they need to figure out how the world is changing.
But I think there's a lot of good like methods and practices you can do. And I think some of the most successful organizations, they are good at, for example, empowering their front-end personnel, the customer service personnel, to be able to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't just become like monkeys that read scripts,
yeah.
but they actually are people that say, like, your responsibility is not to us as a company, but to the customers that you serve.
Sure.
You are empowered to make the best the decisions in their interest. And I think getting your organization, getting your people into that kind of mindset, that it's their job to go out and engage with the customers, listen to the customers. For example, in our organization, we don't call them support. It's not our support organization. We call them our customer advocates.
Yeah.
Because they have to be the advocates of the customers in turn.
They have to be on their side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think there's a bunch of tools like in terms of empowerment that you can do. But it's also about making sure that you have a high degree of openness and transparency,
mm-hmm.
so that it's like one of the worst things that can happen is that if you have a conversation and you find out that it's just you and some guy in some department that has this conversation and the rest of the organization has no idea what's going on.
Sure.
So that's why people go to Twitter or to Facebook or whatever to complain or to, you know, vent basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment you know that you have a conversation with somebody in the organization, but everybody in the organization has full access to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that changes the entire tone, changes the entire kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the most successful companies, they're really, really good at exposing both the great and the bad customer service experiences
sure.
within the entire organization. We do that ourselves. Every time somebody's not satisfied with our customer service, we blow it out to the entire organization so everybody can see what's going on, everybody can react to it, and everybody can act on it.
So if you were a more of an established business, and you just see that the world is changing around you and you've got to change. And change for many companies is hard. You know, it's a real inertia and history, and this is the way that we do things around here. What have you seen that for companies that have been in that situation and they want to sort of make that move, not necessarily that quantum sort of move, but they want to start on that journey towards being more customer focused, being more customer service led, etc. Where's the best place to start? What have you seen that works for companies that to try and generate that initial piece of momentum?
So of course there has to be some alignment. You know, you have to have a business model that also, where you know, great customer experience actually makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? and that's also why. But that's also why I come back to this thing about the subscription economy and how a lot of companies are now much more focused on the long-term customer relationship, because, like, if you can sit down and say, like, okay, I can make £100 on this customer this month. Or you have the choice to say, I can make £100 on this customer every month for the next 10 years.
Sure.
Suddenly your mindset about kind of what can you actually invest in that customer to acquire them, to retain them, to service them, and to give them a great experience. Suddenly your math kind of changes completely, because the financials are completely different.
Sure.
Like a customer 1 month, £100, compared to a customer 1 month, £100 for 10 years, completely different math.
Mm-hmm.
And that can help you as a business think very differently about how you can invest in the customer service and the retention of that customer.
Okay, so you would say that it starts with alignment. And that's developing that overall view. This is, well, what business are we in?
Exactly, and I think every pub owner knows that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about just getting somebody in from the street to buy a pint. It's about getting that customer to come in over and over again to buy that pint that really matters.
Yeah, no, sure. So it's about the quality of the beer. It's about how often you've got sport on the TV.
Yeah, and of course, then there's a lot of like tactics, a lot of stuff that needs to be in place. You need to have a good product. You need to have all of these things. But it's like getting into the financial model or getting into the financial mindset. This is the best thing for your business is the long-term customer.
Okay. So another quick question is, who in the UK do you think do you like that's doing stellar job on the whole sort of customer service side of things? You think they're absolute heroes?
Oh yeah, that's a good question. I should probably have investigated a little bit more with our UK team here. I think we're meeting a lot of great companies. We just had a very interesting conversation this morning with a publisher about their viewpoint on some of these things. I can't tell you who they are.
No, don't worry. Publishers are struggling.
Yeah. But you know, a lot of companies are struggling.
Mm.
And a lot of companies are figuring out how to, you know, turn that around through a new degree of customer relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the one question that this is the penultimate question. Ultimate question, and that is, what's next? What do you see that's coming next? That's going to be the big thing. Now, the whole customer service revolution, as you call it, is here and is here to stay.
Mm.
But and that's taking up this hill. But is there something else that you see that's coming?
I think we are in the middle of what's next.
Right. Okay.
I think that.
And is that what people are finding really difficult, sort of thing? And there's so much stuff kind of going on and changing?
I think that's because what you see today is that a lot of traditional companies, they are being completely disrupted by a new generation of companies that can have a completely different focus on product experience and customer experience. Mm. So we're seeing that today, that big old traditional companies can be completely from one year to the other, can be completely disrupted because people can come in, new companies can come in with a completely new model. And so from our perspective, from Zendesk's perspective, what we've done is like our approach has really been a lot about kind of democratizing the tools that can enable companies to provide greater customer service and create new kind of customer relationships. And that democratization, where we basically put the most powerful tools you can think about, where we put the most the most powerful tool to think about putting them in the hands of every company around the world.
Yeah.
From the smallest startup in India to the biggest company in, you know, wherever. And then we can put these powerful tools in the hands of everybody. It's really something that changes how the agility and the strength of smaller companies to go in and disrupt traditional players.
Yeah.
And you can see that with a lot of tools like the iPhone.
Yeah.
And how that suddenly has become a tool for startups or for technology companies to go in and completely disrupt traditional businesses. You mm-hmm. see that especially in, you know, taxi and limousine players with, you know, Halo and Uber and so on going fantastically.
I think it's absolutely fascinating. I think over the last 15 years of how that piece of technology, the iPhone or just the mobile phone, has morphed into an extension of ourselves for the majority of the world's, you know, population, which is crazy, but how it's becoming such an incredibly important platform.
Yeah. So that's a big piece of our software too. For example, is that we are able to provide the full interface for support reps and for the organizations to the customer service. We'll be able to put that in a phone, either that be an iPhone or an Android or Windows phone or the iPad for that matter.
Yeah.
So you can have these service reps, so you can have these customer-centric organizations, and you can have their people all around the world.
So I can be sitting on the beach.
You can be sitting on the beach.
Yep. Ah, you're through to Adrian.
And we asked some of our customers a few weeks ago, like, what is the craziest place you work with customers through your iPhone app or whatever? And people just came to us like, well, I was caught in an elevator and in an earthquake, but I could still provide customer service.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So it's not about having hundreds of people in a warehouse sort of anymore and with all banks and banks of telephones. It can be actually distributed.
Suddenly small companies, by having the right attitude in the organization and having these new generations of really, really powerful tools, mm-hmm. including Zendesk, can just completely make them capable of competing at a level where old traditional companies simply can't compete.
Yeah. So one final question that I always end these conversations on is that I always ask people, is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
No, but like we're just very excited about being here in London for the Web conference, which Loic is arranging, and which has become like one of these special events that tie technology companies from the Valley and San Francisco with technology startups in Europe. So it's a fantastic event, and we are announcing that a lot of our customers in the non-English speaking countries like France, Germany, Portugal, Spain, Italy, Netherlands, mm-hmm. now have a completely localized experience with the tool, so they can start a trial and use the product in their language, which we look forward to giving them a more natural experience in the tool.
Fantastic. That's brilliant.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.